Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Vulgar Burrito Podcast. I'm Dave.
I'm Mike.
Thank you for tuning in with us. I know we occasionally go over the fact that we do a bi-weekly show, and sometimes we don't do that. And, you know, just keep in mind that it's actually a good thing that we don't do a ton of shows because look at, you know, when we were growing up and were kids and we watched the news or our parents watched the news, it was like on at what, 8 in the morning or maybe 6 and 8. And then in the evening it was 6 and 8 again, whatever. So, you know, they compiled the best stories they could find and they were delivered by your prestigious, you know, hello, up dead rather, or whoever.
This is Tom Brokaw.
Yeah. So anyway, you had your name, so we know.
Gerald Ford, dead.
That was like a mixture of Harry Carey, too. Yeah, so we had our prestigious names that we always watched. We knew, we trusted them, everything, and eventually news turned into 24 hours, which this is why you get a lot of the bullshit that's out there, is because when you have something that needs to be 24 hours, you have to create 24 hours worth of shit. So with our podcast, I think you're getting our best because we do bi-weekly episodes. We don't do them every single day. If we did them every single day, that would be fun. And we don't have the time for that, but we did, it'd be fun. But eventually, you know, you kind of run out of material and you just start grasping at strings.
Yeah.
Which the quality of the show comes down. So I guess my point of all that is sometimes shit does happen, but you still get quality shows.
That's right.
You know, when they make up adult themed movies, it's quality.
It's quality.
Yeah.
Quality content for your ears.
I could be learning about the latest book on the New York Times best-selling list, but I want to hear spooge jokes.
Right?
Yeah.
We will supply the spooge.
Yeah. Jokes. Well, and the jokes.
And the jokes.
Yeah.
Might not both.
Both, yeah. Same time, possibly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You ever do one of those spooge jokes where you're like, oh, God, that was so good, I just jizzed.
Yeah, we should start a company like called Luber Eats.
Luber Eats. Oh, boy.
There's that quality content we were just talking about.
There it is. You wouldn't have got that had we did a daily show.
No.
We will let Michael have the floor. We kind of kept this on the down low and didn't really say anything because it was a very serious thing and we didn't know. And it kind of like when people, I don't know, I don't want to use this as a horrible example, but it's kind of true when somebody announces a baby announcement way too soon and things don't turn out right. And then you kind of have to go back. Yeah. So it's kind of like that where we didn't want to start delivering news that we didn't know. And and then we didn't know the outcome either. So if you want to recap the last couple months.
The last 2 months have been very stressful. It goes back a little farther than 2 months. So roughly a year and a half ago, shortly after COVID started, I was working and I went to the bathroom and I had blood in my urine. So I called my doctor that day because immediately I was like, well, that's not right at all.
Yeah.
So I went to my doctor and
To get that out of there, nobody, you didn't have a fall. You didn't.
No fall, nothing.
Nobody just kicked you for a horrible joke.
No, nothing. Okay. No, nothing. I had to pee and I went and it came out red. So I called a doctor and they got me in there and I gave him a sample and still blood in that. And he tested and everything. And asked me if I had had any pain, like maybe pass a kidney stone or something. Yeah. And I was like, no, I didn't have any type of pain. I just went and that's how it came out. And so he was really kind of at a loss as to what it was. Thought maybe I had a urinary tract infection. So he gave me some antibiotics and I took those for a week and I went back and gave him a sample again and it was clear. So like after the last time I had blood in my urine was that first sample I gave him. And that was the last time I seen it for a long time.
So you thought that's what it was.
You thought
the antibiotics got rid of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So fast forward to probably late August. My wife was getting ready to go to my brother's wife's wedding shower. And it happened again. There was some like burning involved. And I was like, shit, I got another UTI. I'm like, I'm just going to drink a shit ton of water and just kind of try to flush it. I didn't go to the doctor because I'm like, if it's a urinary tract infection, I can probably get rid of it just by drinking a shit ton of water. So I, you know, was just staying really hydrated and drinking and wasn't really seeing it again. But then I kind of started having like some abdominal pain and stuff. And like finally I got to the point where I was like, after like 2 weeks, I went to an urgent care and I was like, you know, I think I have this urinary tract infection. I, you know, it's burns when I urinate. You know, there was blood in it about 2 weeks ago. So I want to figure out what's going on. If I have an infection and it's spreading, I'm like, I want to catch it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I've been drinking so much water that my urine sample I gave them was so diluted they couldn't test it. So then I go home and I'm stressing out. And that night around 2 a.m, I wake up again and in the middle of the night with pain. I tell my wife, I'm like, I'm just going to the hospital. I'm going to the ER. Really disappointed that it took me 3.5 hours to get in to an emergency room.
Yeah.
For them to call me back. But that's a whole other thing. Anyway, they gave him a urine sample, CAT scans and stuff, and everything came out clean. I'm like, well, what the fuck? Earlier in the day when I was at the urgent care, they had actually made me an appointment to see a urologist. So I had told the people at the ER, like, I have a urology appointment. And they were like, okay, well, when you go, you know, let them know everything that's going on because, you know, your CAT scans and everything have come back clean. Like, there's nothing. So I go and see him and to let him know what's going on. And he had said after that first visit that since I had seen blood more than once, that there's likely something in there that's either cancerous or potentially cancerous or something in there that's bad that shouldn't be. So I'm like, fuck, dude. Like, that's not
what that's the worst news you could.
Yeah. So immediately start stressing after that because it's like, shit. So he sets me up with a couple appointments. One is to go have a CAT scan that is just of my bladder. Another one that's called a cystoscopy, where they go in with a camera through your penis into your bladder and look around. My first thing is this CAT scan.
Are you out when that happens?
No.
Oh.
I'll get to that.
Okay.
So the first thing I do is I go into this CAT scan. And on the paper it gave me, it said to drink a lot of water before you go in because they want your bladder full.
Oh, yeah.
So they can see.
It easier. Yeah.
So I bring 2 bottles of water that I chug with me in the parking lot of the place. And then I go in. I sign in everything. They come and get me in the waiting room. And the girl's carrying 3 of those like half bottles, those mini bottles of water. Mm-hmm. She's like carrying 3 of those. And she's like, okay, I need you to empty your bladder. I'm like, I just like chugged like 2 bottles of water because on the paperwork it said to make sure I did that so my bladder was full. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry, but we're going to need you to empty your bladder. But I'm like, fuck. So I go in there and I pee. She gives me these 3 bottles of water. She's like, okay, we're going to take you back out to the waiting room. Drink these. And then when you're done, we'll come and get you. They finally come in and get me. And the CAT scan thing took about 25 minutes or so.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm laying there and as we're getting closer being done, like I have to pee so bad. Like all that water that I had drank before I got in there
made
and
its
the
way.
3 bottles, I thought I was going to explode. And the lady's like, okay, we'll be almost done so you can go to the bathroom. I'm like, okay, because I have to go so bad. So she got me out of there. I go to the bathroom and I think I must have peed for like 2 minutes straight.
Yeah.
It just kept going.
like that Adam Sandler skit?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I got to go.
Oh my God. Yeah, it just I've never peed so long in my life. It was ridiculous. And you know, the doctor got the results of that. There was nothing. So then I go to when I show up for the cystoscopy, which the urologist did. You know, he tells me, he's like, this is really like the be all end all. He's like, if we don't see anything here, like your liver's functioning fine, your kidneys are functioning fine, the CAT scans have come back clean, this is it. Like if there's nothing in there, we don't really know what's happening. I get into the office. This girl comes in. She's like, okay, I'm just going to clean the tip of your penis. And it's like this whole thing. So many people have seen my dick and I've peed in so many cups. It's ridiculous.
They're like, hey, it's Mike.
There's the little guy. How are you? So I'm like, okay, like it's so awkward, but I was like so nervous that I just didn't think anything of it.
Yeah, like how do you respond to that when someone's like, I'm going to clean the tip of your penis?
Like,
you're like,
okay, cool.
Cool. And then you're going to make me a sandwich afterwards? Or,
hey, do I just leave the money on the nightstand? Try to slip it into her waistband. So So yeah, she does that. It's to numb the tip of my penis for when the doctor comes in with the camera and stuff. So my wife is there with me. She's sitting in the corner watching like a creeper. And and doctor comes in. He's talking to me and he's like, okay, he's like, all right, we're gonna go in now. He's like, just take a deep breath. So I'm like, okay, this isn't so bad. Going up, it didn't really hurt like going up my penis until like it got to the where he was going into my bladder. That's when it hurt. Because he's like, take a deep breath. And I'm like, he's like, okay, we're in. And I didn't want to look, you know, I don't like those, you know, when they have like the like cameras going in people's body and like they show like.
And you can see the screen?
And you can see everything. Yeah. So the screen is like to my left. So I'm like trying not to look. And I just kind of keep glancing. And finally, like when he's in there and he's looking around and I'm not seeing anything. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And then he's like, okay, there's your prostate. That looks fine. And he's kind of moving around. I'm like, all right, sweet. We're not seeing anything. And then finally he like moves it. And there's this little, it almost looks like some kind of coral, like something you'd see at the bottom of the ocean. It mm-hmm. was so weird looking. But like immediately I knew, I go, oh, fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Like that does not look like something that should be there or in your body at all. And he immediately goes, that's something we're going to want to take out and do a biopsy on. I was like, fuck. You know, takes the camera out. I'm like, oh God. And he's like, you all right? I'm like, yeah, that's just all a lot. And he's like, so, you know, we'll set up like a surgery time and we'll get that taken out. You know, we'll do a biopsy on it in about 2 weeks it takes to get the results and we'll let you know. So I was like, fuck. Like everything that I had done, all the blood work, the piss, the CAT scans and shit, none of that stuff caught that little thing in my fucking bladder. It was so surreal. And I remember walking out of there with my wife thinking, fuck. And it's hard to stay positive because you got this whole time, you still got the surgery, but I wasn't going to find out anything for like 3 to 4 weeks.
A while.
And and it's bad enough that I'm a worst case scenario person. Yeah. So it's like, for me, it was really hard to stay positive. I feel like shit. I'm like, I'd be a lot more positive if I didn't feel like shit. Like I was having nausea and just like other shit that I think a lot of it was from stress of the whole situation. Comes time for the surgery. We go to Ahuja Medical Center, which is just outside of Cleveland. Very nice. Like everybody I dealt with through university hospitals was awesome. I can't say enough good things. And they so I go in and I strip down and put on my gown, and they give me these knee-high white like socks, almost, not even socks, or like the pantyhose almost.
Yeah,
they're supposed to prevent blood clotting.
Oh, okay.
So I'm fucking struggling to pull these things up. It just looks so funny. You know, I'm sitting there, my wife's just sitting next to me, and you know, we're talking and shit, and finally they take me back to do the procedure. The thing about when they put you under is just how absurdly quick it happens. Like I remember them talking, I'm talking to these people, you know, we're just bullshitting. We get into the operating room and I, you know, I'm like, okay, I've had surgery done before. I know I get on this thing. And I don't remember anything after that. Like I was out, and I think they put me out too quick because I remember them as I was like falling asleep, like saying, hey, you gotta take, cause they make you take a couple deep breaths of oxygen before you go under, cause they want your lungs full. And I feel like, and I don't know if I dreamt this, but I'm pretty sure this happened. I must have fell asleep too quickly because they were like, you need to take some deep breaths before you go to sleep, before you go out. And they're like, you can't help it.
Yeah,
you're like, no, as soon as you get in there, they're like, weep, weep, weep. And yeah. The shit enters your IV because it goes through your IV. It's not gas anymore.
You're like, no, I'm good. I'm pretty tired.
And it was just like, I don't know. It's incredible. Anybody who's been through a surgery, it's just like you don't remember anything and you wake up and you're like, it's done. Everything's done. I remember when I had my hernia surgery done, like I came to as we were leaving the room. This, I didn't wake up till a half hour after I was in the recovery room. So I was out for a long time. And the procedure, I think, took about a half hour or so. So I was out for at least an hour. So I woke up and the nurse's like, oh, okay, you're awake. And she's like, just so you know, you have a catheter. And I was like, oh, fuck. Because there was a possibility. Like, he didn't guarantee that I would need a catheter or not.
He just
said that was a possibility.
Yeah.
But because when he removed it, he went a little deeper to get the tissue underneath just to make sure that I needed a catheter to allow my bladder to heal. And to anybody who doesn't know what a catheter is, it's almost like a balloon that they fill up to take up space in your bladder with, I can't remember, saline, I think they filled up with. I may be wrong. Something like that.
That way it drains, like, it just drains.
Yeah, it just drains. Yeah. And it's the weirdest thing. It's the weirdest thing. Like, I look down and I just have this tube coming out of me and this bag hanging next to me. And, like, you're just constantly, like, peeing. Like, you feel yourself peeing, and there's nothing you can do about it. It just happens. And you're like, huh. So, like, anytime I'd be talking to somebody and start laughing, pee would just go. So, it was like, I couldn't help it. Just made me laugh more because I'm like, I'm peeing.
Yeah.
But it was honestly the worst, maybe the worst part of the whole thing was that fucking catheter, because you're lugging that bag around, and you got to empty it, like, I'd empty it before I go to bed, and I would hang it. I could only sleep on my right-hand side or on my back.
Yeah.
Because I only had so far I could move, you know, with the catheter in. So I would hang it from, like, the handle of the nightstand next to the bed. I'd empty it before I went to bed, and I'd wake up in the morning and it'd be full. And you have to keep it full, and you have to keep it low, so gravity kind of works so it fills up.
Yep.
You don't want it backing up. And towards the end, like, I needed that for almost a week. I had that in kind of towards the end, like it moving around, it was really starting to get painful. So I had an appointment to have the catheter removed. So me and my wife go in, because she came with me just in case they gave me some kind of information about it. But so of course I'm sitting there, and an assistant, like, she's like, okay, so we're going to remove your little buddy today. And I'm like, yeah. And you know, this whole time my wife's calling me Kathy.
Oh,
I'm like, yeah, so we're gonna have Kathy removed. Yeah,
good for her.
So what they do is they take the saline out of the balloon or whatever that's fills up your bladder, and then she's like, okay, now we're gonna inject some cold water through the tube for you to fill up your bladder, and just let me know when you feel like you have to pee. So she's doing it, she's filling it, and finally I'm like, okay, I have to pee. So she's like, okay, we're gonna remove it. So she basically kind of uses the flow of my urine to take the catheter out, but it wasn't painful at all. So she took it out, like, it was like a split second, like that. It was out, and I was like, she's like, okay, and it's out, and I was like, oh, sweet. But then she has like underneath where, like, she was taking the catheter out, she was
like
holding
a oil bucket.
She was holding, it looked like a measuring cup just to catch, like, the urine that was coming out too. So she's like, okay, and you can take this, and you can finish, we'll leave the room. So I, like, had to stand up and finish peeing in this measuring cup, and and I looked down at my penis, and it looks like Rocky at the end after he's all like, go Adrian, you know, it just looks all like fucking destroyed.
Oh,
yeah, just destroyed.
Apollo peed.
Yeah.
That was my attempt at a
Apollo Pete.
Yeah, that was a poor attempt at a joke.
But I felt like Pinocchio. It's like, I got no strings to hold me down. I was like, oh, look, I could move. I had I was like, this is awesome.
I'm a real boy.
And so we leave, and we go back probably about a week later. And I just remember, like, just thinking as leading up to, like, that last week, like, once it was out of me, that it was like, my life changes on a 50-50 chance right now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm either going to be going through stuff or I'm not. The worst part is it's completely out of your control.
Yep.
It's like the worst kind of lottery. Like, you can end up with this, or, you know, it's nothing. So we go, me and my wife go in, and he sits down, and he says that, you know, the way he was talking, he doesn't give anything away with, like, his tone. So you can't really read him. And he says that the results came back non-cancerous with a low risk of cancer, low risk of becoming cancer. And he said out of the three outcomes, that one's the best.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was relieved. Come back in about 3 months, and we have to go back in and check with the going back in with the camera to check. and to see if it's came back.
So somebody's going to clean your tip of your penis again?
Yeah, so my penis will be numbed again, which, you know, hey, as long as my insurance covers it, numb that bad boy up so I last longer. So if it comes back clean after that, I don't have to go back then for another year. After that year checkup, it's 3 years. After that 3 year checkup, if there's still nothing, I can choose to stop going and checking for it, or I can continue to go every 3 years. So which I might do anyway, just because.
Well, I think we'll be closer to 50 at that point.
Yeah.
And I think it's normal to just get checkups anyway.
Yeah. So I think at that point, it's only every 3 years after that. So the hope is that, it stays like what it was. But I mean, it was just a very scary thing.
And we didn't want to we could have posted something on the site to say, you know,
yeah,
everything that was going on, but we didn't know, you know. And
I had mentioned a couple small things on Facebook because I really just needed like positive energy.
Yeah,
at that time. But I think it, you know, I wouldn't say it helped.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
But it's been stressful.
Yeah.
But to kind of have that good news.
Yeah, get your mind right, you know, a little bit better, and we're glad that the outcome was positive.
Yes.
And that we didn't have to come on here and deliver some awful news, you know,
because
we don't know what would have happened at that point, because your fight would have been different, you know.
It would have been completely different. Yeah. Like, it's just completely out of your control.
Yeah. So, I know you get messages, I get messages. Hey, when are you guys putting out another show? Or what, you know, it's been a while since your last one.
Actually, can I shout something out? I got a message from, actually, Patrick, kind of a couple weeks ago.
Patrick Hickey Jr.? Over
it. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Patrick Hickey Jr., friend of the show.
The author of the Minds Behind the Games book series.
Great dude. he sent me a nice message. He told me to get Will soon, and that was really cool of him.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, man.
It was nice.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can see why sometimes, you know, we may not be posting. There could be things going on in the background people don't know of.
And we had said very early on, like, we're not Joe Rogan. We're not, you know, sometimes for you and me, we're guys that have regular jobs and
like to shoot the shit online and share funniness.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes life happens. And
absolutely.
We, you know. Sometimes we're going to go away for a little bit.
Yep.
You know, but
a good way to think about it too is if, you know, and I know some of the time it's a lot of my responses to the people, like, you know, thank you very much for listening to the show. I'm glad you really enjoy it, and enjoy it so much that you're asking, like, you guys didn't go away, did you? Like, you're still going to put out shows. Yeah.
Yeah. That means a lot.
Hell yeah. And, so my suggestion is, you know, since you
go fuck yourself. Yeah. Quit rushing us. God damn it. All the time with the when's the next episode bullshit.
No,
you know what? Start your own fucking podcast.
Yeah. And then I'll send you messages. When's your next show? No, but my suggestion is, you know, you got enjoyment out of our show. Email a couple people your favorite episode of ours and get them started on listening to us. And, you know, it'll take, I always say, you know, our first episode was kind of funny just because we didn't know what the hell we were doing at all.
No.
And then you can tell on the second one, we were just too formatted. Like, it was like very to the book.
Yeah.
And that wasn't us. And then, so I say by the third episode, we were.
Yeah, we were starting to come into our own by the third episode.
So if you get somebody started on like the third or fourth episode, you know, it's going to take them a while. I mean, we're like 30 some episodes in. It's going to take them a while to catch up anyway, and then by the time they do, we'll have...
Or even if they just want to, you know, just listen to the two best ofs and go from, you know...
Yeah, and see if they even like it.
If it's even, you know...
Their cup of tea.
Because we know we're not everybody's cup of tea.
Yeah.
So...
The sticklers of the world.
God, I know it's called the Vulgar Burrito Podcast, but I found it a little too vulgar.
Too vulgar. Yeah, there was nothing about a burrito. It's just vulgar.
Yeah, I had to go home and say about 30 Hail Marys and praise my love to Christ.
Who's got great abs, by the way. So,
yeah, he does.
Also, while we were out, my brother and his fiance, now wife, Emily, got married.
Yeah.
As you know, we were awesome. There for that. Yeah, that was a great time. Congratulations to them.
Thank you for playing The Weatherman as one of the wedding songs.
Well, they wanted you to perform, but yeah. You know.
The good thing is it cleared the dance floor. So
it made nobody, room for
yeah. I get it. Nobody knew what the song was, so they're like, what's the rhythm for this song? I don't know.
Did so, the dance floor.
Yeah, it did. But luckily for Emily, she went out there and danced.
Yeah, yep.
Tried to drag a few people that didn't want to be up there, and you know, yeah, that was cool. It was cool to hear an old classic song.
Yeah, that was awesome. I'm glad they played it.
Yeah,
did a speech for them.
Yeah. Oh, I wanted to. So that's one thing I wanted to. Somebody,
my cousin,
your cousin,
my
has
cousin
it.
Supposedly has it. I don't think she does.
Was it Hess is her last name? What's her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lauren.
We're calling her
my
Lauren
cousin
Hess.
Lauren. My cousin Lauren.
Which is funny because I have a cousin named Lauren Hess.
Do you really?
I swear to God I do.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why when I saw the name and I'm like, oh, wait, that's not Lauren.
Yeah.
But yeah, we want that video because we want to play it on the show.
I tried. I don't know if she's got it or not. Yeah. I don't know.
You brought the house down, man. It was hysterical. I had tears coming out of my eyes. It was like an episode of the podcast live. It was just amazing.
Was it?
Oh, that's funny as
you.
Hell.
Thank you. It was, I wanted to do good for them. And for a long time, like for my brother, like we had literally talked about, you know, would it be cool if I roasted him? He was with somebody different at that time. But I was like, fuck it. I'm gonna
dude,
roast him.
Right? He was with a dude?
No,
I'm just kidding. Sorry, Jeff.
So,
had to roast you there real quick.
So, like, it comes the day of the wedding, and I'm like, fuck, I start getting nervous because I'm not really, you know, like, we've talked about this. Like, I'm more or less an introvert unless I know my, like, the people, like, you, and, like, if you put me in a group of people I don't know,
yeah.
I just kind of shut down.
The turtle goes in the shell.
Yeah, yes, for both my penis and me. Going to a show, and it's so I was really nervous because I don't like all eyes on me.
Yeah. Like Tupac?
Yes. Like Tupac. You know, for like most of the days we're doing pictures and shit, and you know, other groomsmen are asking me if I'm gonna talk. I'm like, I don't know. And they're like, oh, you gotta. I'm like, it's not really my thing. Like the last time I did a best man speech, I had things written on cards, and it just was really bad. We get to like the table and stuff, and I'm like, yeah, I guess I'm gonna talk. It gets to my turn, and I'm like, all right.
So you essentially winged it.
I had nothing. I had the only thing that I had memorized that I knew I was gonna say was I was going to start with roasting my brother about his armpit hair, and I was like, we'll see where this goes, and then you know, I'll just go from there. So I had nothing written down other than the armpit hair joke about how it looks like he's
headlocking two hamsters.
Yeah, it looked like he's stealing hamsters from a pet shop. And once I said that, and I got some laughs, I was just like, okay. So like, I looked over everybody like towards the building in the back, and I just kind of started going. And once I got laughs with the armpit hair thing, I was like, okay, I can do this. And then I think I made fun of myself, calling myself Shrek with high blood pressure.
Yeah.
And I got to the point where I kind of wanted to keep talking.
You take the mic and you're walking around table to table roasting,
roasting people.
Look at this guy. Look at this guy. Guess who hasn't been laid in a year? This guy here.
But
he's like crying at the table. Why would you do this to me at a wedding?
But it was, you know, I wanted to do good for them, and it was also kind of a big, I don't know, I was really proud of myself after that, because that's not something that I would
I don't think those speeches are ever easy.
Normally.
And you felt, you looked comfortable up there, is what I would say from the crowd looking up, is that you looked comfortable, almost like you had written everything.
Yeah.
But you could, there was no cards, there was nothing in front of you, you were just sitting there talking like you were giving a stand-up show is what it looked like.
Yeah.
And it's what it felt like too. I mean, you look around and there were people fucking crying, man. Like, I don't know, it was good. If we got to get that tape.
Yeah, Lauren, if you have it, if there's any way, if you're listening, I don't even know if you listen, if there's any way you can get that.
She's like, I shut it off at Make Me a Sandwich. That was last episode.
Yeah, but I mean, even like the people that work in there were just people I didn't even know were like saying that was one of the best speeches I've ever heard.
Yeah,
it was just really cool, you know, because it was such a huge breakthrough kind of thing for me to do.
Yeah,
personally, but also to like have that kind of speech for them was the most important thing.
So if she can get that tape, there is a Vulgar Burrito bumper sticker or a window sticker with her name all over it.
Shit, I'll order you some merch.
Yeah. And you have to wear it. I mean, just
yeah,
you don't receive it and then use it as like a dish rag or something. It's
yeah,
you have to wear it out and promote if you want.
If you want.
Yeah. But yeah, I'd love to get that and play it. So
I would like to hear it back because I can't really remember.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have it memorized.
Yeah, and besides that, while you were out, you know, because we didn't know where things were going, I was just trying to come up with stuff on the, you know, we were still discussing, like, what we could do for topics, and we were just like...
Yeah, we were kind of like, because we even talked about it at the wedding, kind of pitching some ideas, but, you know, it was very hard for me to mentally...
Yeah.
To kind of get in podcast mode.
Yeah, and I didn't want to keep bothering you with shit, and I'm like, ah, man. So I kind of went off on my own a little bit of, like... I've been in like this humongous video game kick lately and just spent like a ton of money on a near mint condition Night Trap and Sega CD I got.
Okay, so I watched your TikTok last night. That thing is like not only Night Trap in mint condition, but that Sega CD
it's vibrant. Like it's like looks like it hasn't aged a day.
No.
I
thought it was brand new. I'm like, did they re-release those? Like
a mini?
Yeah.
I've been on the search for those for a while, and I didn't want to pay the amount of money I knew I would have to pay unless they were damn near mint.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew in my head, I'm like, it's not like I'm going to play them. I'm going to put them away. And the Night Trap that I ordered, well, long story short, I went into a bidding war with... a factory sealed copy, and I knew what that would entail, and I had a dollar amount in my mind that I was willing to do, and that amount was $1,000, which is to me insane for a game that may not be somebody else's idea. Like, oh, I would spend up to $2,000 for a game, you know, or I wouldn't spend over $100 for a game.
Yeah,
that game's very important to me, and to see it factory sealed with vibrant color without the MA-17 sticker that ruined it later.
Yeah.
Because if people don't know what Night Trap is, it's basically the game with Mortal Kombat and Lethal Enforcers that is the reason we have the ESRB video game rating system today. And there were court hearings on it and everything. But I knew I was going to bid $1,000, and Mary said, I'd match you. So I'm like, that is awesome. She even reached out to the dude and said, hey, would you just take an offer right now? And he said, no. And I said, okay. I thought for a while this guy didn't know what he had.
Yeah.
Because the bidding was at like $350. And I'm like, either people are sitting here waiting.
Because
mm-hmm. he did put it as an auction, not a buy it now.
Yeah.
And I set my alarms and stuff. I would have woke up at 2 in the morning to bid on that thing. So it was game day. It was time. It was getting within an hour. I was sitting by the computer getting ready. And it still hadn't moved from that $350. And I'm like, yep, there's going to be people waiting. Mm-hmm. They're going to be bidding. And, you know, so Mary, with the match, I knew I could bid up to $2,000 and started counting down the seconds. When I got about 20 seconds to go before the auction ended, I placed my first bid, immediately just go 400 just to see where I'm at. And then it immediately shot back in that you've been outbid. Next bid has to be 650. And I'm like, oh, this is not going to be good. You know, being that by the time that happened, there was probably 10 seconds left.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm just going to go right for the $1,000. And maybe that puts somebody so far out of like not knowing what I bid
mm-hmm.
that it just knocks them out. And the next one immediately went to 2,000. And I'm like, all right, I'll just do 2,005. And it shot up to $5,000 within a matter of seconds. And I'm like, oh, I'm out.
Yeah.
So yeah, it ended up going for $5,100, which... I kind of expected, but I was just hoping it didn't happen.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
there's another copy out there for $13,000. It's not even as good a shape as this guy, so that, that guy's going to have to come down. But anyway, I saw a copy on eBay for a buy it now for like 200 or something like that. And I'm like, I'm looking at it. I looked at all the pictures. Everything looked crisp. The color was real nice. It's almost to the point where I thought it was fake.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man. So I emailed him. I said, this is the original red box. This is legit. You know, he showed the contents. It still had the registration card for the manual. You know,
oh, wow.
You remember how those used to have registration cards?
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right. There wasn't a crinkle in the manual or anything. And it showed up. I bought it. It's better than I could even imagine. I looked at the disc. There's not a scratch on the discs. So I'm going to send it in to get it water rated and sealed. And what that means is once it's sealed, you can't open it again.
Yeah.
I could, but I'd break the seal and it wouldn't even be worth it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd have to redo the whole process, but.
So you didn't order it to play. You just ordered it.
I ordered it to keep.
Keep. Yeah.
And maybe eventually, I think it's one of those things where so maybe like, I sell it down the line.
And so was that essentially like, I know they obviously they, cause I'm a card collector, but I know that there's grading systems for cards. Like as I believe I've seen them for games now where they, you can
that's
send
the
them
WADA.
And get them graded. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's
WADA.
What that is.
Yeah. WADA rating system.
Oh, okay.
There's two, there's VGA rating system and WADA. WADA is the more prestigious, like, I mean, they're both good. So VGA, the company, they'll rate it. They have their own rating system. Yeah. WADA has become more popular and it's WATA. Not like Helen Keller. What a...
Oh, I thought you said water sealed. I was like, oh, yes, because you don't want to get wet.
And I wasn't making fun of blind or deaf people. I just, it is, as I said, WADA, I realized it probably sounded like I was saying WADA.
You don't want to offend all the deaf people listening.
Oh. Yeah.
We're back.
We're back. So, yeah. Yeah, once they, either company you use, once they rate it, they put it in a sealed case with locks, basically. It self-locks.
Yeah.
Those locks, the game essentially cannot be opened again unless you break those seals. And if you break them, then you have to redo the whole thing over again. But, yeah, this is in such good condition. I'm definitely going to send it out, and it'll be gone for a while.
Yeah.
You know? They do the whole grading seal. But... it also shows what value it's at. So I could, if I decide to sell it down the road, which probably never happened, could be worth thousands of dollars. And I just made a very good investment of $200.
Yeah. Can you do that with the system too? Or
you can.
Is that what you're going to do? Or are you going to keep it to play?
I don't feel like it'd be worth it because this guy, he had I should have asked for more pictures. It is damn near mint, as you can see from the
thing.
One of the corners is slightly ripped. And that's going to degrade the value completely. So I'm going to hang on to it and see. It'll still be worth, like, I could legit wait and probably get, I'd definitely get my money back for it. But to me, I'll probably hang on to that. And I've never seen a box in that good of shape.
Yeah.
And that's, I've always looked for the box.
I thought that thing was brand new.
Yeah. I've always looked for that system in the box. And I've caught them for like $400 or $600. But there'll be like pieces missing or the flaps missing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this guy showed pictures of the flaps and the insides and everything. And I'm like, this dude had still sealed instruction manuals and all. And I'm like, oh, man, it's in such good shape at that price. And then Mary was actually like, I'll buy it for you for Christmas. And I'm like,
I love you.
Yeah.
I just splooged. I don't know if that gives you the answer.
But anyway.
I got to go change my pants. And then we'll order that.
Yeah, then we'll order. So yeah, but I mean, I'm buying her the amount in Christmas gifts as well. So besides that, on the game kick, I was like coming up with this list. I'll just throw some names out there just because it's have it on there because we'll never do this probably.
Was this
the video game
we talked about?
Just because you can't really come up with too many names. There's just not that many out there.
Yeah.
And some of them are very, like, you're stretching it at this point. Like, oh, yeah, okay, you know. But I did have some that I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to throw at you and just see reaction. These are could be anywhere from classic games to newer games.
Yeah.
For example, Sonic the Splooge Hog. You know, classic Genesis game, not that funny, but...
yeah.
A boy and his blob of jizz. Zombies ate out my neighbors.
Fister's Quest.
Fister's Quest. Fester's Quest. I love it. Adventures of Cocky and Ball Wrinkle.
Cocky and Ball Wrinkle.
Shinobi.
Shinobi.
Ken Griffey Punier's Chinning Run.
Chinning Run.
Medal of Honor. All right. Ghost and Goblin. Ghost and Goblin. See, some of these aren't that funny, but Little Nemo, the Cream Blaster. this is my favorite by far. Dyke Tight Ones Munch Out.
Munch Out. Oh, shit.
Resident Queefle. Some of these aren't that good, but I was just thinking, I'm like, oh, Metal Queer Solid. Tony Hawk's Pro Skeeter. Donkey Dong Country.
Donkey Dong.
Yeah, let's see how they're like a stretch. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like Throttle Combat.
Throttle Combat. Skeet Fighter.
I have Skeet Fighter too. Rod of War.
Rod of War. Oh, God.
Womb Raider.
Womb Raider, yep.
Ratchet and Skank. Whole Caliber. Soul Caliber.
Dreamcast.
Call a Booty.
Crutch Bandicoot.
You do have some good ones. Biocock Infinite.
Yeah, say that.
Faces Loaded. The old Bases Loaded. Oh, God.
Faces Loaded.
World of Whorecraft. Deadhead Redemption. The Legend of Zelda, A Link to Her Ass. Yeah, see, some of these are a stretch, but... yeah.
Thyrim.
Thyrim. Oh, yeah. Jacking Off Daxter. Yeah. Yeah. So there is, I had to get him out there. I'm like, you know, we're never probably going to do an episode of this. So I just want to get him in.
It's good. Yeah. I remember we were talking about that.
I'd like to make a t-shirt of Dyke Tight Ones Munch Out. I think that'd be great. Yeah. Or Little Nemo, the Cream Blaster.
Dyke Tight Ones Munch Out.
Dyke Tight Ones.
Ugh.
We are to the point of the show we call the wrap up.
It's been a while since I've done this, but wrap it up.
We finally heard the story of why we were out for a while. Yeah. The good thing is it was a positive outcome. We're glad that everything turned out okay. It's just a little bit of monitoring you're going to have to do.
Yeah.
Still something to be cautious of, but we're glad you're okay. I'm sure the listeners are.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, so we got to just kind of catch up on what's been going on and some adult video game titles, some video game collection.
Mismatch everything. Talking yeah. About my brother's wedding, which is awesome.
We appreciate everybody sticking around and waiting for us, and we'll continue to put out some good product.
Hey, it's the holidays.
It's the holidays, and
something special for the Vulgar Burrito fan in your life.
Yes, even a Vulgar Burrito mug, because it is hot chocolate season.
Ooh,
put you some marshmallows in that Vulgar Burrito cup. Tastes even better out of that. I've tried it.
Yeah?
Yeah, it does. I've tried other ceramic mugs. They just don't do it for me, like the Vulgar Burrito Podcast ceramic mug.
Ceramic mug tastes. My parents have the TVB Jam Vulgar Burrito mug.
Good. Good for them. I'm not sure. I'm sure the coffee tastes better out of that.
It does.
Yeah. Maybe they could give us a review.
Product review.
Yeah. So, yeah, like we always ask... follow us on our social media pages.
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. Yeah. Please, thank you. Just
give us a like, give us a share.
Give us a subscribe wherever you listen. We really appreciate it.
With that, this has been the Vulgar Burrito Podcast. I'm Dave.
I'm Mike.
We'll catch you guys next episode.
Peace.
Out.